All right. About every 2 years, I preach this little thought. And tonight, I'm going to do it again. Get your 2008 summer tune-up. 2008 summer tune-up. Look at Psalm 26 and verse number 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. There's a way not to slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Look at verse 2. Examine me. Here, David pulls his spiritual car into God's garage and says, Lord, give me examination. Now, this time of year is my favorite time of year. April, May, and June is by far my favorite time of year. By far. I love it. I'm not crazy over any other time of the year. People like fall. I don't. Looks like everything's dying. And it means winter's coming. School's starting. Brings back terrible memories. And it does, really. When it gets August, I get a sick feeling in my stomach that I got to go to school. Heard somebody say, I like school, but you must have a bad home life if you like school. Something wrong, bad, you need some of them psychiatrists or something. It's not normal. But anyway, I like winter if it's snow and get it over with and melt. But I love April, May, and June. Now, the next 2 weeks are the longest weeks or days of the year. You know that, don't you? We're getting ready to start the first of summer. Is it like the 20th or 21st or something like that? And that'll be the longest day. In other words, it's going to stay daylight longer. Hurry up, boys. Get in and sit down. It's going to stay daylight longer than any other day of the year here in the next 2 weeks. It's not going to get dark, real dark, so maybe 20 minutes till 10, somewhere along in there. And I like that, don't you? Amen. I love it. I enjoy it. But it's also the most dangerous time of year. More people get out of church this time of year than any other time, by far. You see people that go to church real good in the wintertime. As soon as summertime hit, the FBI couldn't find them. They get backslid, and they think you can just miss a few licks and come back in and pick up where you left off. But it don't work like that. Because the devil, he's working day and night. And he's trying to get you this. Listen, buddy, you need every bit of spiritual input you can possibly get. Because he's coming up with something to keep you messed up. Just as sure as you miss a day doing something for God or reading your Bible or praying, he'll get the edge on you. Sure as the world. And so tonight, every once in a while, you have to pull your car in and have it inspected. Here in North Carolina, we have that law. A law of inspection. Well, I wish we didn't, but we do. And you also get a tune-up or inspect. Sometimes you just pull a car and say, give this thing a good going over. So I'm going to compare you to a car tonight. I'm not a mechanic at all. I can play up thing there, and I can hear music and stuff like that and stuff like this. But I ain't no mechanic. I don't know. Listen, brother, all I know to do is put gas in one and pray and oil and pray and more oil. And brother, if it don't work, I hit it with a screwdriver or a hammer. And if it still don't work, I pray again. If it still don't work, I'd call somebody. I know very little about a car. But I know a few things, you know, been driving as long as I have. And I know that if you're going to go on a trip, you need to have some things done. And the first thing I want to say tonight is that you've got to have your battery charged. You've got to have your battery charged. I don't care how nice a car you have. You can have a brand new paint job, new tires, new everything. I mean, boy, you can shine it up, not be a speck on it, wax it. It'd be just as slick as that thing right there. But you're not going nowhere with a dead battery. That battery has the power inside of it. So when you hit that switch, that battery turns that motor, and it's that starter, and something turns that motor, and brother cranks that thing and gets it going. You've got to have your battery charged. Now, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually speaking, this time of year, you better get a charged battery. Every one of us inside has a battery. Have you ever went out in the morning and tried to start the car and goes, and sometimes they'll do that thing and then they go, ring, and he'll go ahead and start. So, oh boy, battery going dead. I hate to have a dead battery. You have jumper cables, and you hook up somebody's battery, and you hook them up to your battery, and get them going. That's what I'm doing here tonight. I'm hooking up to you tonight, jumping you off, getting you going. Listen, we got a long, hot, dry summer ahead of us. The devil's going to throw everything in his power at you. The devil's going to try to get in with you married folk, in between husbands and wives. You're going to fuss more. The devil's going to, you know, summertime just brings out the hatefulness in people. I mean, it's hot. Amen? I see a bunch of you just nodding your head. I mean, you're about had it when you come in anyway. That heat takes all the energy out of you. You're just about ready to slap somebody when you walk up. And then about that time, there he goes. Or there she goes. Yak, 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 yak. And boy, I'm telling you what, brother, if you're not careful, it'll go like that. Amen? The truth is tonight, every one of you here tonight, every married couple in this room tonight, are you in? I know how you all are. You're sitting out there looking all sweet and everything. You're sitting out there looking all sweet and your arms around each other and all. And I'm proud of you. God bless you. That's wonderful. All that, but you ain't fooling me one bit. I know as soon as you get in that car and head home, the devil's going to be on your case. He's going to try to cause friction. He's going to try to cause trouble in your marriage. He's going to try to cause trouble with your kids. Your kids are going to get rebellious. Your kids are going to get, I mean, something's going to happen. And brother, right then, you're going to have to be able to get up every morning, hit that starter, and that spiritual motor start going. You need your battery charged if you're going to go anywhere. Every morning, I wake up every morning. I'm not lying to you when I say this. Every single morning of my life, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I wake up and if I grab my Bible, I pray, I pray, I pray every morning, and I say, God, get me going. God, get me going. Lord, God, get me going. Don't wait on the night to read your Bible and pray. Do it first thing in the morning before you go anywhere. Start your motor. Get it going good. Put it on the slow charge. I can jump you off on Sunday, but who's going to start you Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Ladies and gentlemen, get your battery charged. Get charged up here tonight and get on fire with God. You know how you do that? Get you some good preaching. Preaching will get you charged up. Amen? Boy, I tell you, them kids at camp, some of them didn't even really want to go. But by the time it was over, they didn't want to leave. That's what camp, that's what preaching will do to you. Now, you know what I do? I preach all the time, and it's seldom that I get to sit down and listen to anybody preach. So you know what I do? I got preaching tapes. And I got hundreds of them. And I've been listening to them this week. I put a preaching tape in, and a lot of times I'll get a preacher that I don't even really like. But I know he needs to skin my hide, and I'll put it in and listen to it, or turn the radio on, and just that good preaching will help keep your battery charged. That's like a good alternator, like a tape player, CD player, to keep your battery charged up. Listen to some good preaching. Listen to some good preaching this summer. While you're doing the housework, ladies, put some preaching on. You can't find much on the radio anymore. It just about had it. I mean, we got a few good stations around, little AM stations. You can get 900, you can get 780, you can get 760s, okay. But 780's a much better preaching, and 900's got good preaching on it. All those are AM. There ain't no good preaching on FM hardly much anymore. Just very, very seldom. And so, my girls used to fuss at me, because I listen to them little AM stations, and you can barely hear the preacher going,
Get out of here!
Prepare to be God. You know, you can barely hear that, but I listen to it. They'd rather hear a liberal read the NIV because it's crisp and clear on FM. I'd rather hear a redneck scream through some AM popping. Hey, man, I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to have our battery charged. You've got to have your battery charged. You'll backslide this summer if you don't hear some preaching. Some preaching. I mean, pray for me. Pray for me. Walk up to me once in a while and shake my hand. Say, Brother Danny, is that the best you can do? How about preaching next Sunday? I'm telling you tonight, folks. Well, listen, we need some preaching. We need preaching. Hard preaching. Straight preaching. Gun barrel straight. Preaching will keep you right. Preaching will keep you straight. Preaching will keep you out of trouble. Preaching will keep you from going down the wrong road. Preaching will keep you from making the wrong choices. We need preaching tonight. You don't know how much you need it until you hear it. And you say, boy, I needed that. I need somebody to slap me real good and knock me back in line. Not only that, number two, we need our spark plugs. You know, them spark plugs are important. I never did realize how important they was. Corey had that little Volkswagen Jetta. And I remember taking that thing, and I noticed it was just sort of going up a hill. And it's a lot worse going up a hill. I took the mechanics. They said, you need computers. They said, you need this, you need that. I said, I ain't spending over $700 or $800 on this thing on a computer. They said, well, you need this. And they tried several things. They spent $300 or $400 on it. Didn't have the best. Finally, a man said, you know what you need? He said, you need spark plugs and spark plug wires. And sure enough, we put spark plug wires on that thing. It's smoothed up just like that. Plugs and wires. That's all it needs. That thing would do okay on level ground. But as soon as you hit a hill, it would start just missing. Terrible. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And you know nowadays how them cars are. Lord have mercy, Kate. I mean, you have to go to school to learn how to fix them. And why we didn't put spark plug wire? You need them. You need to be in some good services. You need to listen. You know what you need? You need to be in some good church services. I'm telling you, that's my job. My job is being a jumper cable for God, is to be able to preach and have the choir sing. That's why we sing good songs that'll fire you up. Listen, I know some churches that are going down the road going, you know, have good in here and good in there. A little bit of fire here, a little bit of fire there. But boy, we get them new wires, get them all cleaned up, get them all unplugged new. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You sort of spit and sputter along, but then about that time, God hooks you up just right and you get the glory down in your soul. You ready to go then, brother? That's what we need. There's some good old-fashioned services that'll just rip our hearts out. You know what I want? I'm glad we're in the new church and God done answered my prayers this morning. I told you I was coming down the interstate this morning. It was so beautiful. The sky was so blue and those white clouds. And I remember I had my sunroof open and I looked up at the sky and I said, Lord, I remember for the last year and a half driving down through here saying, I wish we was in the new building. I wish we was in the new building. And I remember thinking, time after time after time, the devil's going to throw a cog in it. Something's going to happen. They're going to find out that there's something lying buried in there and something that the city's going to stop us and say you can't put it. So I thought something awful was going to happen. I thought, Lord, is it really going to happen? Is it really? It's just like, is it ever going to happen? And I thought, here we are in our second Sunday. Listen, I'm telling you, I went in my office over there and I thought, Lord have mercy. Somebody said today, they said, Brother Danny, they said, our church, It almost makes you want to do better. It's almost like this place, it's just like it makes you want to act right and makes your kids want to behave and makes you respect it more. Don't you feel like that? I said, amen, hallelujah. I said, Lord of God. And I prayed this morning, I said, God, if we've done the right thing, Lord, please do something this morning. And Tim's daddy come and got saved. She'd been praying for him. And I know a lot of you people work in this church. Old Ron, he worked back there in the bathrooms and he done that plumbing back there. She worked in that nursery. And I know a lot of people did this. You know what I think? I think God looked down and said, hey, I'm just going to bless you real good, sister. And well, God's going to hold her daddy. And God done that. I believe He's going to bless some of the rest of us, too, forever. And I've been praying. God just let the Holy Ghost fall in here. We got beautiful lamps. We got beautiful ceiling. We got beautiful floors. Lord, we need the Holy Ghost. The power of God has to come down and rob our heart. That'll make people do right. That'll make your boys and girls do right. That'll make your kids do right when you ain't around. That'll make these little boys and girls do right. That's what we need, old-fashioned Holy Ghost power. That's why I'm glad the Parker family's going to come and sing. I'm glad. I said, Miss Kerr, come and bring the Lord. Amen. She's coming in on 6th of July. But I'm just kidding. We got the Lord here. Let's just pray He'll get in control of everything. We need our timing set. There's something about a car, it gets out of time. If it's the timing ain't right, it misses. You've got to understand how to set your timing. Now, you know what your timing is? Your prayer and your Bible study. Look, I know men that'll get up at 5:30 in the morning to go fishing. I ain't saying that's wrong. I don't understand it, but I don't say it's wrong. How many of you men like to go fishing? Raise your hand, please. All right. Praise God. Have at it. We'll make a little deal. You catch them and clean them, I eat them. That all right? Son, I did last night. I preached in Gastonia last night, and I wasn't even hungry. And I went down, one of my favorite places to eat is the Twin Tops Fish Camp down there, way south Gastonia, and Graham's Fish Camp right across the street from each other. Well, I was going to preach last night down there, and I was all by myself, and I thought, boy, I'm going to get home tonight and study and get right with God. And boy, I looked over there, and their sign said, all you can eat seafood buffet from 5 o'clock on. I said, oh, glory to God. And I wasn't even hungry. I had bowl ice cream that big before I left. I wasn't a bit hungry. Buddy, as soon as that service was over, that's all I could think about. As soon as I said, Brother Jack, did you know that the fish camp's got the all-you-can-eat buffet on? He said, no, you going? I said, yeah, I'm going. You can go. He said, I got to take these bus kids home. And I said, see you, brother. I took off. I went in there. I sat down. Man, I'm telling you, they had a big old greasy buffet about as long as from here, the door over there. I mean, they had oysters, and they had catfish, and flounder, and shrimp, big shrimp, little shrimp. Oh, brother, Brother Danny, listen, I'm little. I don't have much of a belly, but every bit of it's stomach. My stomach's from here to here. Inside there. I can eat, brother. I was full when I went in there. I was full when I went in there. I got me a big plate of food. I eat it. Got me another big plate of food. And I eat it. And, brother, I had a great time. And I about died on the way home. Had nightmares in the middle of the night. I'm telling you, brother, I enjoyed it. You catch them, I'll eat them. You catch them, I'll eat them. But I'm telling you tonight, listen, you know what? Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with going fishing. Nothing wrong with getting out on I guess these things relaxing. Getting out on the boat on the lake. Have fun, brother. Enjoy it. I don't care much about it. But I'm going to tell you something. You better have the time and set on your spiritual life. You better take time for God. You better make time to read that book. You better make time to pray, or you will not make it through this summer like you need to make it. Yeah. I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, I don't need all that. I'm all right. And you're so far away from God, you don't even realize how far you are away. Yeah. You're like somebody who don't have a headlights on, don't even know they don't have a headlights on. So somebody flashes them at you. And that's what I'm doing, flashing them at you. I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother. You hear me? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me tonight, you better have your timing set. Amen? Then you're going to have your headlights right. All your headlights. Both my headlights on my 4Runner on bright's out right now. All I got is dim. You need both. You know why you need dim? Somebody talking? You know why you need dim? So the Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, dim. And a light under my path, bright. You got to see right in front of you. You got to see way out there. God's Word don't only tell us what we should be doing years from now. God's Word tells us what we should do day by day by day by day. I believe that God still will speak to you through this book. He don't speak in an audible voice. But God definitely will lead you and speak to you through this book. You've got to get your headlights worked on. And then let me say this. I'm going to hurry. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to say this tonight. You've got to have your brakes checked. I hate brakes, but you've got to have them. My brakes was giving me some trouble here a while back. I talked to Brother Wayne. He's my mechanic. And Brother Wayne, he's a gifted mechanic. I'm telling you, it's amazing how he can do that, especially with that one arm like he does. And I'm telling you, brother, he's just got a natural gift for knowing what's wrong with the car. He reminds me of Rob Bradford. Some of y'all know Rob up in Marion. Oh, Rob had a, he's got, he's, some of them guys just got a gift for working on a car. Never been to school, not a certified mechanic, but they can look at one and tell you what's wrong with it. You ever met anybody like that? It's like a talent, like you have an ear for music or art or something. They can just look at it. Say, what I've done one time, I had a real, almost a brand new Toyota in Marion, and my cruise control quit working, and I took it to the Toyota place, and they told me I was going to have a computer. It was $400, and that was in 1983 or something. It'd be like $1,000 now, $400. $1,000. I said, forget that. I'll just do without cruise control. They said, you got to have a computer. I had it over Rob's garage one day. I said, Rob, you know anything about cruise control? He said, I don't open your hood. And he looked at it there a little bit. He pecked around out there a little bit, pulled a wire or two out. He said, you don't need that. Throw two or three things away, and that thing worked perfect for the rest of the time I had that car. That's the truth. But you don't believe it. That's the truth. That's the honest truth. But I tell you something, brother. You got to have a car. You got to have brakes on that thing. I took my 4Runner, Brother Wayne. Every time I put the brakes on, he goes, boom, 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 boom. I said, brother, I think I need pads and my rotors need turned or something. Because I knew that when it starts doing that, you need your rotors turned. And we turn the rotors and turn the rotors so they're about that thin. You can only turn them so many times, I think. But I had them turned once. He said, well, Brother Danny, I'll try it. He put front brakes. He put back brakes. He bled them. I've always done. Some of you say, I want to bleed your brakes. I said, I'm going to bleed my brakes. They got blood in them. And they always said that. I always thought, why my brakes got blood in them? But what they mean is they unscrew the little thing that got air in them. Ain't that what it means? Ain't that what it means? And you pump them like that, and it pushes the air out. But I reckon that's what that means. I don't know why they call it bleeding, but to bleed the air out of them. But anyway, he got my brakes fixed, brother, and I'm telling you, my brakes will stand you on your head. I mean, you can just barely touch them. And Max says that you're supposed to do your brakes in a car like you put your foot on an egg. You put your foot on an egg. That's how you're supposed to do your brakes. You don't go like just like you're putting your foot down on an egg. Amen, ladies. And that's what my 4Runner is now, boy. You put your foot down, it'll do you like that right there. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian. As Christians tonight, in the beginning of the summer of 2008, you better know when to stop. You better know where to draw some lines. You better know when to stop. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with you going to the mountains and seeing the scenery and doing things in the right way. But you better know, I know some people that vacation themselves right out of God's will. I'm telling you tonight, know where to draw the line. Like old Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold them. Amen. I mean, brother, you got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to say, you can feel yourself. Can't you feel yourself getting right away from God? You need to say, whoa, stop, no more. Turn the TV off. Go back home. Get in the house of God. No more missing on Sunday night. I'm putting the brakes on. Amen. You young people better know when to put the brakes on. You young people that are dating, you better know when to put the brakes on. You better know when to stop. Amen. You better know when to stop. You better know when to stop on who to hang around. Who not? I preached a message the other day before we left on the worst thing kids can do. The biggest mistake young people make is hanging around the wrong kind of other young people. And I said, you better know when to stop. He said, but they're all wanting to go Friday night, and I know some of them's kind of wild, and I know some of them kind of crazy, but you know, I believe you better know when to stop. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. He said, well, Brother Danny, I'm a mature Christian. No, you're not either. There ain't nobody in here so mature that you can be around sin You know, and it not affect you one way or the other. Better know when to put your brakes on. Know that. You better have some good tires. You better have some good tires. I hate buying tires with a passion. $600 for a set of tires. I'm glad Max ain't here tonight. No, they're gone. They're gone on vacation. But since, I mean, it ain't his fault. He claims he lets me have them at cost. So it ain't his fault. Don't tell any of me or this tape. $600 for a set of tires. Now, come on. Come on now. I bought cars for less than that. Ain't y'all? And here's what they say. They say, now you can buy this cheap tire, but it won't last you but 15,000 miles. Then you get your Michelin, and it'll last you 60, but they cost $600. What's a man supposed to do? But I tell you what, you've got to have, I remember, I wear mine down, brother. I wear them down with the steel belt showing on all four of them. I'll tell you when I go get tires. Is when I'm going home on the Kirby Road and it's raining and I feel it start doing like this. I say, I reckon I better go get some. I'm cheap, you know, I don't want to buy no tires, but I don't want to break my neck either. But you got to have some decent tires. You got to. So I used to go up here at this place over in Glen Alpine. And that old man got that little place down in that hole and I bought a whole set for $60. And you know, you can put them on your truck or you know, your little car or something like that. Man, you can buy a decent set for $300. You know, if you can get them at Sam's. And then they told me that Sam's. I said, well, they got Michelins at Sam's. And they said, but them ain't real Michelins. I said, how can it not be real Michelins? They said, the Michelins that Sam's sells ain't real. I said, now, how can they use Michelin's name? Well, they're this grade, and they're B grade, and they're C grade, and I don't know. Well, if that's true or not. I don't know. I kind of doubt it. But I'm telling you something, brother. You've got to have tires. I can tell you that. And boy, the better tires you got, better the more sure grip you've got on the road. That's your gospel shoes. The Bible said, let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You ought to have it on the tip of your tongue. Like those kids. Here's what I'm talking about. You kids that got out of that bus the other night and started giving out tracts. You just got your tires, brother. Now set a tread, brother. You got your gospel shoes on. I can't imagine somebody going all summer long and not witnessing. Make up your mind you're going to witness to people, even on your vacation. Take you some tracts. Be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up for God. Do something for Jesus, brother. Get your gospel shoes on and speak up for the Lord. Amen. I told you about that Muslim I got into it with the other day. Not really an argument, just a discussion. Lord have mercy. I'm glad I have my gospel shoes on because I was able to give it to him. And then you got to have your front end line. That little Celica that I got. I was going to sell it 2 years and somebody messed up the back glass, had to have the back glass put in it. Now the guy's poured all the gallon. Think about just keeping it and drive it because it gets 34 miles a gallon. But the front end's out of line. It wants to go this way all the time. Don't want to go straight. It's always pulling to the left. Like many church members that I know. They don't want to go, they're always going this way. You ever met? I mean, you meet very few people that just go straight. Amen? And when that front end's out of line, I hate it because going down the interstate, you have to constantly be holding it. You can't just sit there and do it like this, you know. You have to hold it all the time because it's wanting to go this way. I don't understand that. They put them on a machine. You can't just look at it. Say, it looks straight to me. They got a machine. They got a book. They got a Toyota 4Runner, 2000 model, da-da-da. And you set by the numbers in them books to make it right. You have to, listen to me, to go straight, you have to set your life by that book, not by how you feel, not by what your grandmother says, not by what looks right or feels. Did you know there are people that are shacking up, living together, and really believe that they're doing right just because it feels right? They are. A lot of people. I've known them to say, well, I believe God brought us together. And how could something this wonderful be wrong? Now, let me tell you something. Look, you're never going to get anywhere until you just look at it like God looks at it. Wrong. If I do it, it's wrong. If you do it, it's wrong. Period. We go by the book, not by how we feel. I always use the illustration of the old bus up there in Lebo, Eastside Baptist Church. They had an old bus when you first start in the bus ministry, buy old cheap buses. Paid $700 or $800 for it. And I was behind that thing one Sunday morning, it was going to church. And honest, it was out of whack. It was like this. It was going down the road like this, bro. I thought, what is wrong with that bus? That thing, the front end up's over here and the back end up's over here. It's going, I can't say where it went. I said, man, that thing needs to be like, it was bad out. But usually, it's so little that you can't see it. And that's where you got to put on one of them machines and go by them numbers. That's why David said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. The other night, Andy was driving my 4Runner coming back from camp. And we got off to get something to drink, and non-alcoholic drink. After camp, you'd think about it, though, I'm telling you. Cross your mind. We got off to get something to drink. We go to the restroom. And it's one of them tricky exits down there in Winston-Salem, big old square. He said, now, where's the interstate? I said, I believe it's right on out there, brother. It looks like an interstate sign. I said, well, come that way, though. And I said, honestly, I think it's right out there. But the sign said Interstate 40 that way. In my mind, I really believed that it was out that way. But I said, you better go by that sign. Because what I felt wasn't right. You know what? You know, a lot of people, that's the reason why people get lost when they're out traveling. They say, well, I just feel like this is the right way. That's why they put them signs up there, people. And we went by the sign, and it turned out right. We went opposite from the way I felt, and we turned out right. Now, that's the way you got to do your life. That's the way you got to do your life. You can't go. One lady told me, she said, well, I prayed about it, and God told me to leave my husband. You can't go by how you feel. You cannot go by how you feel. You've got to go by what he wrote down here. Your feelings will get you in trouble. Your emotions will lead you wrong. You've got to go by the book. Front in line. Then you gotta have oil. They say you can run one without gas, but you better not run it without oil. That's the truth, ain't it? You know how I used to have that old van I told you about before? And the way I knew, that thing leaked oil, used oil, burned oil. I never had the oil changed. What do you know you change oil if you're putting 3 quarts in a month? You're keeping it changed. That's right. That's, you're wasting money changing. You are changing it. And it would get down, and I noticed the oil light would come on when I go around a curve or, you know, go down a dip or something like that. And then it started going tick, 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 tick. I knew that's when it needed oil. Because I lost the dipstick. It had been gone for years. That's right. Don't look at me. You redneck. How many of y'all had to drive an old car with no dipstick in it? You just cram a paper towel in that little thing there. And then you couldn't check it. The way I checked it, it went tick, 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 tick. And I would stop, pour a quart in. It didn't stop. I pour another quart in and keep going. That's where you know it needed oil. Tick, tick, starts knocking. Boy, I thought about that. I thought, Lord, that'll preach. What's the oil picture in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know how you know you need it? You start knocking. Tick, 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 tick. You fussing about this and fussing about that and griping about this and rapping about that. I don't want to start on 7 o'clock. You know what I mean. Listen, you know, always a knocking something. Always a knocking. Knock. You need anointed with oil. They say them sheep butt heads. And sheep are real bad for that. They'll just butt heads like that. and I'll bust the brains out. But the shepherd takes them and he takes that horn of oil and pours it on, anoints their head with oil, and then they try to butt head. They just slide off each other. And they can't hurt each other. It's a slick. They just slide off. And that's the way the Lord does us. He anoints our head with oil. Makes us easier to get along with. Amen. And then the last thing you do is you just fill it up with gas. That's the worst part. And you head it in the right direction. Put your pedal to the metal, brother, and forward. When it gets September, and it'll be here before you know it, this is the middle of June. I'm amazed that we are already in the middle. I don't know what happened this spring. I guess the youth rally and this just zapped me, man. I've not had any spring. But I guess the time we turn around, it's going to be September. They're going to be going back to school. Don't let the devil knock you out this summer. Don't let him. When I get up here in September and I say we're getting ready to start the fall program and camp meeting's coming up, y'all realize what a camp meeting we could have here this year? My Lord. I've got old Barry Goodman from down in Shelby booked already. I didn't talk to John Mitchell, but I left him a message yesterday. And we got singers coming. We got some great preachers coming. And we could have a Holy Ghost camp meeting here this fall. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't let me look around and say, where's old so-and-so? They're out. Where's so-and-so? They wrecked in the summer. Don't wreck. There's some already not here tonight. They ain't going on vacation. Just this warm weather and all the temptation of the flesh and the mountains and the beach and everything. I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with that stuff by itself. But don't let it knock you out of church. Get your tune up. Let's get it tonight and let's be on fire to God now. Okay? Let's stand by.